to MacBite's headquarters, where we are marooned. Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 75. The end of another week. Is it me, Mike, or is time just flying past?
It is.
And today, it's too hot. How many ways can I say it's too hot, Mike? It's far too hot. Tell me what the weather is like where you are. I need to know these things.
Kim's had a major victory with her mother.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. Tell me all about it. I'm trying to find the chat and it's vanished.
Oh.
Oh, for crying out loud. You ever she's had one been, of those days?
She's been checking a Wi-Fi signal.
Oh. Ooh.
And checking the router. She's got no Wi-Fi signal, so she went to check the router.
Right. I'm nearly there. I'm nearly where I can see the chat. Woohoo! I can see the chat. If you could see my screen, Kim, you would be laughing your little socks off. Right. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Kim.
And my mother's happy she can play bridge again.
Yes. Hello, Deb. CQ, CQ. My screen is full of pictures of people with teeth. Dental pictures. There is a reason for this, which will become apparent in the middle of after hours. But some of these are quite freaky. Maybe you could explain to me, Kim, why is it when you put a brochure together for a dentist, you put pictures of dental surgeries? Because nothing would put me off faster. But that's what they all tend to look like. Taking after me mother there. So, major victory in her computer skills. She says, I have no Wi-Fi signal. Let me check the router. She's 92. She's brilliant. She's brilliant. Yes, Mike's mother's success. Or are you claiming success for that?
I'm claiming success.
Mike's got her back on the bridge thing, thankfully. Oh, this is why we don't update stuff, isn't it?
Mm.
It was a Windows update, wasn't it, that went awry, which has now been firmly pushed back in its box, but she's not touching the phone. The next time that says, do you want to update, she's going to throw it in the freezer or something, yeah. Isn't she? And poor Lola's hot. Look at her. Look at her. She's all panting and hot. And she's in the studio, which is not like her, is it? Do you want to say hello? No, I'll leave that to you, Mother. OK, I'll do that. But they'll know you're here. And I've got a very nice picture of you. You don't know I took that because you were asleep.
What?
Yes. What? Yes. Now Daddy's fussing her. Oh, she's a happy little dog. Happy, happy dog. Right. I'm glad you agree,
Lola
Jonathan.
Bear it's is far. In the house.
She is in the house, aren't you? Lola Bear. Lola Bear. She's even answering to that now. Have you got a breeze, though, Jonathan? I watched your Clap for Carers again last night. I usually watch it straight away. And I'd started watching it and then Mike did something and then had to stop. Went back to it later and obviously it had processed to 1080p. Wow! I thought it looked good before, but the 1080p just blew me away. Why does my 1080p look as good as that, Mike?
I don't know.
That also reminds me. You know my unboxing that I did last night? And then I had the calamity of waiting for the toy. Do not mention what the toy is. It's a surprise. Took hours to charge. Literally hours and hours. Eventually, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I glanced around. There was an amber light on it. And I thought, I was waiting for it to turn green. And it was doing nothing. It was just sitting there glaring at me in amber. But the thing was, when I actually read the manual, it said the light would just turn off. I thought, oh, right. So then I was waiting for it to turn off. So I'm sat there glowering at it. And eventually I glanced over and it had turned off. At which point, set up the toy. So I've left my webcam on the desk. But that's shocking quality as well. I'm sure I've mentioned that before. Never focuses. No matter how much light there is, it just doesn't focus. But I've got to get that unboxing. I am so far behind today. It's not even funny. So I've got to sort out the unboxing video, which I think was about the 7 minute mark. So hello, Paul. How's the weather in Sydney? Tell me it's cool. Cool. I'd like that. Quite fancied going over there when I saw some snow.
Oh, in Sydney.
I tell you where else I quite fancy, New Zealand. They've got this COVID thing licked, haven't they?
Mm.
She's very good, she is. Mind you, they did exactly what all of us said we should have done here months ago.
So maybe Alistair will invite you over.
They were quite right. Yeah. But they're not going to invite anybody over now, are they? Not while they're in lockdown. They're keeping it all out of the country, which is exactly what we should have done. It was uploaded in 4K, but clear YouTube doesn't like that right now. Which browser are you using, Jonathan? Because I think you'll find it can only display 4K in Chrome. I was watching it in either Vivaldi or probably Vivaldi. But if it wasn't that, it would have been... it'll come to me. Firefox, which is my default one. So if I hair off... What's your username? Tell me it's Johnny. Let's see if it can find you. Oh, it didn't like that. Hang on. Oh, what's it doing? Oh, I tell you what, just go to YouTube and look at the history. That'll work. In landmass, what's bigger, New Zealand or England? I don't know the answer to that, Kim. I would have guessed England, but I can't be sure. Hang on, didn't they say they had 5 million?
New Zealand is around the same size as UK. I just posted Kim's question to Google. UK is approximately 243,000 square kilometres, whilst New Zealand is about 268 square kilometres, making New Zealand 10% larger than the UK.
Well, I would have guessed the other way around.
So there you go.
But don't they have a population of about 5 million? History. I'm there.
New Zealand population.
Right, clap for carers. Got it.
Yeah, just under 4 million.
Yes, a lot fewer people than we have. Million. Right, let's see what it says, Jonathan, as I have a look. Now, you see, there's nothing on the cog now, and it's saying, there you go. It does have 4K, but only if you're in Chrome. So I'm about to watch it again. All these views, that's me. I'm about to watch it again in 4K. Let's have a laugh. Oh, Mike, look. You could actually see the stadium in the distance, couldn't you? It's fabulous. Never knew that. Ah, you learn something new every day, Jonathan. I'm presuming it's like a hat tip to the fact that Google own YouTube and Chrome and thus let you watch it at its absolute best in Chrome. And it does. It's like a movie. It's fabulous. When I watched it last night, you could hear everything, obviously. You could see all of the people on the grass. There's a lot of them, but they are socially isolating-ish. But the stadium was a little bit fuzzy. But now the stadium in the distance, I can actually see like a clock or something on the front of it, which is stunning. It does need to buffer quite a bit, I will say. But it is the full 4K. So it says 2160 at 60 frames a second. And then next to it says 4K. So if you want to watch YouTube at its absolute best, you clearly need to be in Chrome. To
Google
be honest.
Chrome. Is that like Windows Edge?
I wonder.
As somebody said in that meeting I've just been in. Windows Edge.
Don't. Why don't they tell them about your meeting? This should not be allowed. One, on a Friday. Two, on show Friday. And three, when you're on holiday.
True.
And four, ever. It should never be allowed.
It wasn't a work meeting.
No, but it turned into a bit of a job.
It was a Catenium meeting. One of the guys in one of the other circles decided, and I agree with him on one level, theoretically, great idea.
See all these caveats coming out.
Problem is, 90% of the Catenians aren't IT literate, even to the point of
being able to turn on a kettle.
Clicking on a link to accept
the
calendar.
They have wives to turn the kettle on, I'll have you know.
They have wives to sort out the tech.
They do, actually. Peter's a scream.
He is. But anyway, no, one of the guys in one of the other circles decided that it would be a good idea for all the circles in our province, so there's 10 circles, to put their meeting, their Zoom meeting details on a shared Google calendar.
And so that was when the trouble started.
So each circle would nominate a Zoom coordinator.
A Zoom master was what I heard.
And of course, I'm Zoom master of Brooklyn Circle. And our job would be to invite all the other people from the circle and put the details of our meetings on there. And then all the other people have to do is subscribe to the calendar And there you go. They've got all the meeting details. And then it saves lots of email messages and lots of WhatsApp messages being sent around all week. Have you got the details of such and such a group's meeting tonight? And then people started talking in the meeting about, I don't want to use Google. I said, you don't own the Google calendar. It's not your calendar. You just have to subscribe to it. But the information's on Google, and I don't want to subscribe to it because I don't believe in what Google do, what they do with their data.
Somebody.
And I'm there.
Head desk.
Having a private message conversation with another guy saying, for God's sake, all these naysayers. But he was as bad because he was concerned that he wouldn't be able to access the Google Calendar on his Apple devices. So I had to tell him that it was just a case of clicking the links on his iPad, iPhone and iMac, as I'd done.
I will say, sometimes it's not that simple.
Oh, thanks, Kim.
I have done it, and sometimes it's not that simple. For the lady in question, it had been shared and she needed to log in with the same email address she uses for Google and Apple. And then that caused problems. Then she couldn't remember her password. And I remembered it, if you remember, from 2 years before. I'm like sitting there thinking, hang on a minute. I know what the beginning was. I just need to think about the end. And then there was quite a few hoops to jump through. And I couldn't do it here because she was going to get the one-time access code on her phone, and that her phone was with her. It was a bit naughty. But yes, but that wasn't the bit I meant.
Which bit did you
No. The bit that humoured me and I was giggling away to myself was the PowerPoint that was presented.
Yes, he said, I apologise if it sounds a bit like a business presentation, but I decided this was the best way to do it. So he presented this PowerPoint, slide after slide after slide after bullet point after bullet point after bullet point, and just pretty much read the bullet points. Never read the bullet points.
The thing was, he obviously felt he was going to need to persuade people. He wasn't wrong. But, you know, clearly when you said, like, people like, I'm not doing that because I don't like... Daily Mail reader, then.
Yeah. Snowflake or the other one?
Gammon. No, I was actually thinking this time.
I was going to say pig face, then.
Same principle. I actually said to Mike, now I understand these people. You know, when you get attitude like that from educated people, where they don't look into it and find out the facts, it's just I read once in the Daily Mail. Now I know why they're burning down 5G masts, just saying. So I got this message, which was, OMG, he's got a PowerPoint full of bullets and he's reading them, every single one of them. Not good. Now, Paul says he's not a big fan of Google either, but it's more of a preference than anything else. I'm not that bad about using Google.
Oh, he sent me the presentation.
Oh, that's good of him.
There you go.
Oh, no. You know, my pet peeve with that.
The logo.
Put that on white slides because you've got a logo with a white background.
Or knock out the white background.
Or knock out the white background if you're intelligent, but you know, not everyone can do that. Imagine PowerPoint can do that, can't it? It's got some built-in features for that.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her little cotton socks. Oh, I'm going to have a photo of that. She has literally just dropped on the floor behind Mike's chair, head between her paws, nodding off. What are you like, madam? Hey? Not the best place to flop that, Lola, given that there's a bottle of water. Shall I move it for you in case it falls on top of you?
It seems like he's not the only non-Google fan.
Oh, have we got lots of...
Or the only Google non-fan, I don't know.
Don't like them going through all your info. I consider I don't put anything up there that I'm that precious about. So if all of my Google stuff was made public, like my calendar or whatever, I don't care. But then I don't particularly put anything private up there that I consider. But I do agree with you. They can certainly build a profile from
you only have
from
to
your
look
information.
At the suggestions for the replies for an email in the Gmail browser.
Absolutely. But I work on the principle. Apple do a lot of talking about security. But it usually ends up in their favour, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At least Google are honest with it. And plus the fact, if you're on a free account, you will see adverts based on things in your email and all kinds of stuff. I do two things about that. One, I pay Google, so I don't see the adverts. And two, you can suppress that depending on which app you use. So that's what I do with that. I'm just going to have to move that water. Oh, Madam's going to get me. It's all right. I'm moving it. It's gone. Head down. I guess it just depends. I do put one thing I do that makes a huge difference. I never, ever, and I know this is Facebook, not Google, but principles sound. I open up Facebook in, I never use it in a browser other than Firefox. And when I open it, it automatically in Firefox goes in this container, a Firefox container. And even when you spawn another page from Facebook, it still goes in this Facebook Firefox container, which means that it can't get out and then cross-pollinate with Amazon. You know, like you've looked for something on Amazon and now you're being completely bombarded. I do that, but and I don't particularly use a different search engine unless I'm testing something. I have noticed I get different results with Bing and DuckDuckGo, but I don't particularly. I'm not overly bothered about that either, to be honest. Maybe I need to be more secure. Let's have a look. About to ask about reading the presentation. Word by word, Paul. Word by word. Poor Mike. Poor Mike. Right, so Jonathan says, if they want to read my junk mail and see where I went over the weekend. Exactly, it would be, Jonathan. Plus the fact, I mean, they're really doing what... Anybody remember The Mentalist? It was a TV show with Simon somebody or other a good few years ago. Mum loved it. And he basically, like, could look at somebody and give you a profile of them. They're basically doing that. If people took notice of things around them, they'd probably be able to get a good 50% of what Google get. Jonathan says he's more lax than most. So Paul says, somebody complained to Telstra, our largest telecom. 5G was dangerous and carried COVID, etc. And they replied, it makes downloading your conspiracy theories faster.
Yes, I like that.
Oh, that's fabulous. Somebody with a sense of humour. I honestly don't see how that's possible. But there again, you know, maybe one day I'll be proved to be wrong and then it'll all be true. But I said to Mike, these that were very, very anti this idea, why can't we just click in the links that come from our secretaries? The problem is you're trying to cross-pollinate meetings, aren't you?
Mm.
So what you actually wanted was a single jump-off point, which makes total sense. So, yeah, the whole theory made total sense, but there were some very vehement. I don't mind somebody being vehement or even like anti it, like Paul's just said. You know, I'm not keen on Google. That's great because I understand it. It's your perspective from your experience. But these guys, they know nothing. Seriously, they couldn't tell you Google from Apple from a banana. Honestly, it's just something that they've read and they've turned it into, you know, oh, I know what I'm talking about. If you cross question them and ask them, you know, even one question about it, they would not have a clue.
What do we used to call them?
Man in a bowler's queue.
Yeah.
We used to go to a computer fair. You might know this place, Jonathan. It's near the Trafford Centre. It's actually, it was a leisure centre type thing, wasn't it?
It was actually built to be an indoor cricket stadium.
Yeah, and football. Yeah, so it's a huge empty space that can be used for events, but it's not on a par with like a professional, like the Central Manchester Conference Centre where they've built the Nightingale. It's nothing like that. But it was a big empty space. And what they used to do was they rented it out to a company who ran computer fairs. So this was, and they did it every week. This was in the days PC World was around, but not much else for computers. So you were pretty bereft. I used to actually go to London to go to a computer fair, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I'd go down there and I'd buy things like blank discs and disc boxes because there was nowhere to buy them locally. So I literally had to travel like 250 miles to go to a computer fair.
We talked about that on 126.
That's true.
Chicken.
So this place opened up in Manchester where they had a computer fair every weekend. And you had to queue to get in. I think it's something like £3 to get in. And you could go around all the stalls and they had dodgy software if you knew to ask, because the police were in there as well. This place used to get raided. It was a scream. Oh, what days, what happy, happy days. It would open up about 9-ish, but, you know, we'd be there at 6:30. They weren't after the people buying it. They were after the people selling it. But it was fantastic. It was an experience. But when you were queuing to go in, obviously there was people behind you and people in front of you. They were usually blokes, to be honest. And they were like gammons, weren't they? But they were in the queue and it was, oh, yes, well, on my machine, I've got a 3.9, da, da, da. And you'd get this diatribe and we would just look at each other and roll our eyes. Yeah, these people didn't really have a clue. They were muggles with attitude who thought that they were qualified to give you an opinion. And obviously, being a woman, oh, my, you go up to the stall. I would be buying, what they used to sell was a kit for you to build a computer. But if you wanted to, like, buy your own bits and pieces, so you'd buy a case from one place and then you'd buy the motherboard and then you'd buy all of the other pieces. Mike would not be able to tell you the RAM from the motherboard, would you?
No.
So I'd be going up and I'd say, have you got a 486, blah, blah, blah. It was a while ago. And he'd turn around and go, there you go, sir. Mike's like, don't look at me. I nothing to do with me. You just go through me that. So obviously these people in the queue were twice as bad. They'd look at you as a woman as like, oh, she can't know anything. And then try and blind you with science. So we still to this day, when we get somebody who knows very little trying to explain something to me, he's called a man in a bowler's queue. No nothings who think they know it all. That's basically. Oh, Simon likes Mentalist. I still have got to see, I think it was the last two series. I think they started putting them on at very, very silly times. But now I think it's available on one of the services that I've got. So I'm going to watch it right from the beginning. Must admit, Mum was right. It was a good series, that. I loved it. But that's really what Google's doing, aided by data, is what I consider. I mean, even Mike tried to be a mentalist when he met me. Didn't you? He checked out a few things, obviously apart from me. I was fabulous. But he checked out if I had an engagement ring on or a wedding ring. Check one. No. Then he checked if I smoked, because he doesn't like smokers. You were doing the mentalist thing. That's just what Google does, only they're cleverer with it.
Then I checked if you're drunk.
Yeah, and I didn't.
Can I tell everybody?
How good you've been.
Yeah, I opened a bottle of red last Saturday night. And instead of taking it back downstairs to the kitchen, I just totally forgot about it. And I've left it up here, right by my right foot. And it's been there all week and I've not opened it.
You've been very good. I always think with wine, I mean, I don't drink, full stop. And I know white's supposed to be chilled, isn't it?
White's supposed to be chilled, red isn't.
That red
smells all right to me.
It's been that warm in here, and it's that warm now. It would be horrible warm.
Nah.
I'll leave you to it.
I'll drink it later.
Wouldn't work for me.
I'll drink it during after hours. It'll improve my demo.
That business that Anthony mentions, which is logging in with Facebook, I never, ever do that.
Yeah, because Google do that as well, don't they?
The only thing I ever log in with Google, and it's just a historic thing, is Notion.
Yeah.
And it's only because Notion originally didn't have passwords and now they do. So that's the only reason. It's just I haven't set a password up yet for Notion, a dedicated Notion password, which I probably will do because I can't be doing without sending me a code malarkey. So I will do. But I have logged in with Google just purely for speed. Right. Yes, cold reading. That's what they call it. And you can tell quite a lot from somebody by cold reading them. Seriously. It's the other thing, when you first met me, I had a necklace on and it had a crucifix hanging off it. Mm. So that's a big tell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we can all do that. I was just going to reply to Jonathan as well. Yes, it's the wrong colour stadium. But to have been there, Jonathan, I have been inside it. Now it was either Adobe or I think it was Adobe. They had a big event on there. So we were in this suite and you couldn't see the pitch. You couldn't see anything. It was all curtains. And then once we'd done part of the thing in the morning, We were breaking for lunch and they were getting the tea and coffee out, and they pulled these curtains back and there was a massive over the pitch view, and everybody just migrated to the window to have a good look at it. And it is a really nice place. It is a nice place. Obviously, United's nearer me and I'm happier going there. Right. Oh, I'm going to have a look at that, aren't I? Cold reading techniques. Does it work if you can't see the person, Jonathan? Or am I just making assumptions about you all? tell you the one that caused problems with this logging in business. Spotify. I had a Spotify account going back 2009, 10, something like that, ages. And I think I started paying about 2011 or 12. After that, so I obviously had a Spotify account, but after that, they took away the ability to create a Spotify account and you had to log in with Facebook, which I couldn't see the logic of myself. I can see offering it as an option, but to not enable the ability to give them money unless you had a Facebook account, I do not understand. Some people created a fake Facebook account, but the problem with that is the T's and C's of Facebook are you are not supposed to create more than one account. So you've just breached that, haven't you? Other people just went totally away from Spotify. I'm not sure if they've added that back or not yet to create a Spotify account. But a Spotify account, here's where it gets really scary. If you wanted to listen to music on Spotify, and you cannot use a Spotify account because you haven't got one, you need to create a new one and you can only use Facebook, then you need to link it to your Facebook account. So far, so good. If that was all it was doing, which was you then only have to remember one password, basically, your Facebook password, and you can get in to Spotify. Fine-ish. Not for me, but, you know. But inside Spotify, there's various services that they offer to content creators. One of them is podcasting. If you then add your podcast via Spotify, then Facebook know about it because you logged into Spotify with Facebook. That's where it does get very scary. Then it starts like, well, I wasn't particularly telling Facebook about that, but now I just have. So I just try and keep everything as separate as possible and run a thing called Session Box in Vivaldi and the container thing in Firefox. Where I've got to be careful is Chrome. When I go into Chrome, if I've looked at something, I'll see that appear in Facebook. That's happened to you, hasn't it? With various stuff.
Yeah.
And I do find that creepy, I'll admit. I mean, it's innocuous enough, give or take. I guess it depends what you've looked at. I mean, I'll be looking at like gifts for somebody. But, you know, it could be more than... It could be a little embarrassing, depending on what you looked at. Put it like that. Oh, you are a good girl. You've got half an eye open, haven't you? Half an eye, but you're a bit warm. She's very warm today. As am I, to be honest. Free Spotify account is via your own login and the password, no Facebook. Then that must have changed because it was Carrie who played holy heck over it. She didn't create a free Spotify account when there was the opportunity to make a Spotify account. And then when the time came that she realised she wanted it, she couldn't create that Spotify account. I was concerned. You can link the two in Spotify, but, you know, I've not done that. I was concerned that they would turn it into that login and that was all you could do, because I don't think I'd be keen on that either. There's a lot of social in Spotify that you can turn off, and all of mine is turned off. But I could imagine, you know, inadvertently something gets turned on, because that does happen with Spotify. One thing it did a few years ago, and the proverbial hit the proverbial, they made it that on a Mac, and probably Windows, but obviously it's on a Mac I'm aware of, that you logged in to your Mac started up, and Spotify started. And I remember looking at it thinking, well, I didn't do that. And, you know, it hadn't done it before, so this was something new. And I thought, this is strange. So I thought nothing of it at that point, thinking it was just a blip or whatever. But then I rebooted again, and I had like maybe I'd rebooted two or three times. And every time I did, Spotify opened and I went in and they'd enabled it. So I took the tick out of the box. The next thing that happened was I'm playing a playlist on Spotify. And if you've never seen Spotify, you have your playlists that you've added your own content to, you know, stuff you want to listen to. Underneath, it says you've listened to this playlist. You might like these songs. And sometimes you might and sometimes you might not. But either way, I didn't want them automatically playing. And that was what was happening. And there was no option at that point to turn it off. I thought, what's going on here? You know, why is it doing this? You know, it wasn't doing it last week and now it is. So I went into the preferences, couldn't find a thing. Down at the bottom of the preferences, there was an extended preferences, more advanced preferences, hidden preferences. You know, give a sample of blood and we'll let you into these preferences. And it was in there. It was a tiny tick box that said automatically play suggested songs. And I'm thinking, no, never, ever, ever do that. So I managed to turn it off. But that got turned on with just a point update. And at no point did they tell you that they were going to do that. And that's the danger with it. If you've got that hooked up to anything else, you could find that all of a sudden they've decided in their wisdom that they will post on Facebook or Twitter, you know, every song that you're listening to. Don't do that. That would be so embarrassing. And then you are unaware of it until you log into Facebook and that's happened. So that's why I keep those totally separate. No, they are never getting anywhere near each other. Absolutely not. Right, what else have we got? It's browsing on Amazon and then they appear in Instagram adverts. I know. That does spook me. That does spook me. This is why I like keeping them all separate. All separate. How do you keep Lola cool in the heat? She does get warm. She's got iced water. Quite bizarrely, she's upstairs, which is warmer than downstairs. But she's taken to falling asleep with us in the office over the last week, which is new. That's something new.
She likes the kitchen where the fan's on.
She do. Oh, hang on. She's moving. You're going to say bye-bye. Do you know what the matter was then? The sun was coming through that window and it's hitting her on the back. Oh. So she's gone somewhere cooler. Not really much more that you can do other than the ice. But she's going for a late walk because it's still pretty warm here. And obviously when you go out barefoot, how hot is the pavement on your feet? And we're mindful of it being a little bit hot for her. Because we're avoiding the park, aren't we? Because there's dogs off leads and humans the same way.
Humans off leads?
Yes, humans off leads. Oh, believe you me, the humans should be on leads. There was a couple that went out last night, wasn't there, for the Clap for Carers. They were still out an hour and 45 minutes later, chatting with their neighbours. So we avoided them, absolutely. She's drinking more and needs to go outside more. She'd be all right outside. It's quite cool outside. You have Spotify, but not Facebook, Mrs. Simon. Hate Facebook. Live out of Google and log into stuff with a Google account. Feel naughty now. You do what works for you. Do you know, I read a story today on the BBC News and I was absolutely horrified. I was reading it because it was on the education page. And it was to do with sending children back to school starting on Monday. So it says the coronavirus class divide, and it doesn't mean class as in social class, it means class as in school class. Parents shamed for back to school choices. When I read the whole piece, there was one lady and she's got a child in year one and they're in a WhatsApp group to support each other. And they've been in this WhatsApp group since last September when the children started in year one. Some of them are making the decision to send the children back on Monday and others aren't. So far, so good. It's kicked off. They are screaming at each other and to the point that there's now two groups. There's the ones who are going back on Monday and the ones who aren't, and they're not talking to each other. And they've been accused of bullying and not caring about the children, treating their children as guinea pigs. The ones who are keeping them home and saying, well, at least my child is safe, are being told that they're not doing right for the children. Oh, has it kicked off? Well, we don't have that here, Mrs. Simon. Whatever your perspective is, that's up to you. No one is judging you. We're not having any behaviour like that. They're worse than the kids, or is it me? If you choose to have your child at home, fine. If you choose to send your child in, fine. It's up to you. It's your child. Would I send mine in? I'm honestly that this is why I was never tempted to have one. Not unless I had four legs and fur anyway. I detested school to such a degree I would never let a child of mine anywhere near a school. So I would have to have homeschooled. No, that would never have worked for me. So sending them in, not sending them in, whatever. I know as a governor I'm supposed to be saying that we should all go back in. But that's something that the parents have got to decide. And everybody's circumstance is different. But this piece was like unbelievable. The amount of vitriol that's been spat at people is horrific. So we're certainly not having that here. Exactly. Both sets of parents are trying to do what's right. And for some of them, they're saying that they have an older child. So what's supposed to be happening on Monday, but trust me, it's not happening, is all of year one and all of year six are supposed to be in. And that way they'd be able to utilise the classrooms from 2, 3, 4 and 5 to put them all in. That's going to prove more difficult for some schools than others. Our school is a very strange shape. It's hexagonal with the classrooms like around a central core, which makes it difficult because instead of having like a corridor where everybody goes into their own room, you're kind of wandering through a classroom to get to the next classroom. It's like a circle thing. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. There's also all of the toilet facilities to think about. So it could take time. But you could also have a child that's in the 2, 3, 4 or 5 years, which has an underlying condition like asthma, in which case you don't want your year one child at school potentially catching anything that could then be brought home and impact the older child. So nobody's circumstance is identical. So who are you to have an opinion about somebody else's decision? I don't understand that. I do not understand that. If there was a right answer, Boris would have found it, seeing as though he's disappeared again. Sent out the Chancellor today to talk money. That's right. When everything else fails, send somebody out to frighten people witless that they won't be able to pay their bills, which is exactly what needs to happen. I'm glad I don't have to choose as well, Jonathan. I honestly, I'd probably err on the side of caution and not do it. But that doesn't mean that I'm on the moral high ground because somebody else chooses the opposite decision. Why can't you just be human? clearly it's a parent thing. Mumsnet's just frightening. I read so many things about that. And it's like, whoa, about people's names. You know, I want to call my child something. And you know, some of them are maybe old fashioned names like Maud or something. Ethel, my grandmother's name. And he's like, you can't call a child that. I'm like, whoa. They're just very, very vehement. Is this another example of crazy Catholic 70s architecture? It was very early 80s, Simon. So, yeah, it could well have been. I think it was sort of the look of the time. It has been given a makeover since. But that was mainly in terms of the outside of it. So they put a new roof on the church part. There was an integrated church in it, which has since gone. Well, it's still there, obviously. They've not actually physically taken it away, but they have deconsecrated it. So the space where it used to be, altar and pews and stuff, is now available for the school to use, which I guess is one good thing to think about because there is a little bit more space. But architecture-wise, it is a little odd. I wonder if you can actually see. I might be able to share with you the shape of it. Let me try this. This might work. If I go to Google Maps and I find the thing, which shouldn't be difficult, seeing as though it's like in the next road. Right, there it is. Can we actually see the weirdness of it?
I could do a live stream from there tonight.
I'm going to put the satellite on and see if you can actually see it. You can. I'll post the link. But this has been built on since. So the bit in the middle that looks hexagonal is actually the middle of the school. That's where they have their assembly hall. And then you can see hanging off it various buildings and stuff. And there's even a corridor just to the north of it. So if I copy that link and I put it in a different browser, would it show me the satellite and everything, or would you have to do anything? This is the question I need to know the answer to. Nope, that would work. OK, I'll put that in. So the hexagonal bit in the middle was the very first bit that was built. And everything else since then is kind of hanging off that. The other bit where there is a football field part, there's two buildings. That was actually completely added on. So it was a bit of a hybrid to start with. And obviously since then, and then of course the classes are strange shapes because they're all around that hexagon. It's weird. Trust me. It's weird. It should just be square. There is another school next door. And that looks more like a prison. If you zoom out a bit and look on the left-hand side, there is Brentwood Special School. And they have the most amazing facilities. They've got swimming pools and all sorts. They have hooked up with our school and they can share the facilities and go and see the kids that are in there. But they've got their own running track, the lot. But it's just a really weird shape and it doesn't lend itself to the kind of social distancing that we need to do now. It's just as simple as that. Right, so what else have we got going on here? In Kim's state, the school gets money for each pupil. Makes it very interesting. We get a budget, but then on top of that, there is a thing called the pupil premium. And the pupil premium is given to children in need, basically. If they are from a low-income family or they need anything else beyond that, so special educational needs, you would get a per capita amount of money as well. And that can be spent, obviously, it needs to be spent in furthering their education, but you get a little bit of wiggle room in how you can actually spend it. Oh dear. So Paul says that the New South Wales Education Authority threatened unexplained absences will be investigated. We've gone the completely different way here. Normally, you are not allowed any kind of absence, and that includes dental appointments and doctor appointments. They are come down on just as heavy. That would be an unauthorised absence. So dentists and doctors are now doing sort of saving the appointments between sort of 3:30 till 5 for children so they can get there. That's the first thing that's happening with it. But, you know, if you try to take a child on holiday because it's cheaper to go on holiday in the school time than it is in school holidays, then you would get marked down for that as well. And the markdown for absence goes against the entire school. And that could impact your Ofsted standing. So unauthorised absences are really, really strictly followed up. But the government have come out and said that from now until the end of the academic year, if somebody chooses not to send their child back, it won't impact those figures. So pretty much I think you are free to keep your child at home if that's what you choose until September and see how it goes. I noticed today they're still saying that the rate's dropping, and indeed it is. But when you look at it, they're doing a rolling 7-day average. And obviously this week, that's a bit naughty because Saturday, Sunday and Monday, everywhere was closed. So you couldn't register a death to save your life, as it were. So those 3 days were very low. But the subsequent 4 days have been higher than last week. So when they say the R rate's 0.9, yeah, that sounds about right. It's dropping fractionally, but it's not going down as quick as it would. If people just stayed at home, like we are, stay at home. Don't stay alert and piddle around outside. Stay at home. Right, let's go on. So Anthony's on a group for people shielding. There's similar conversations about some people deciding they want to go for a walk and others not doing, but it's up to individuals to take their own risk assessment. It is one of the things that makes me think twice about doing that kind of thing, is that there's still idiots out there. Like we talked last night about people who would report that they had been near you just for a laugh, that would be spitting in your direction. We talked a while about a lady who was working, I think she was in security, on the London Underground, and somebody spat at her and she died. They did find this person, the police, so it's like, great, I get something done about it, and they've let him go. Now, maybe he never had COVID in the first place and she caught it some other way, but as Jonathan and I discussed, it is actually a crime in this country to spit at somebody. So why did they let him go? CPS want shooting. They're another lot. Don't get me going on them. Right. I hope they don't class this as unexplained. I don't know how they're going to work it, Jonathan. I really don't. I don't know whether you're going to need to send a letter in to say that it's your decision and you're not sending your child in. I really don't know. But what all they have said is that it will not go against these figures that are critical for Ofsted, and the parents won't be punished either, because many years ago you'd just be sent a letter and you'd just be told to get your child to school and stuff if they were bunking off. But now you're fined for every day, and I think if it carries on, the fine doubles. So there are ramifications now if you do have persistent absences. So we need to be trusted to make decisions for the individual families and extended families. Absolutely. I mean, I mentioned yesterday he started banging on about meeting your grandparents, 2 metres, and then said that shielded people needed to still be shielded. Well, most of them are grandparents. So how does that work? They're just now annoying people. The nuances of, you can go to somebody's house, you can walk through their house to get to the garden, but you can't use the toilet. I mean, is somebody there checking? Absolutely ludicrous.
You can use the toilet in Scotland as long as you wipe it.
Yes. Funny that. This is just going to rumble on, isn't it? Because there's no right answer. Oh dear, oh dear. So Anthony's primary school was a C shape, called an outdoor school, and you could see all the classrooms, access to the playground. You can go between the classrooms on the outside. No, never been to one like that. My original primary school, very old-fashioned, was basically classrooms hanging off a corridor, central corridor. There was an aspect to the school, though, that was an old building, like a sort of manor house. And there were still classes going on in there. And basically all they'd done with that was like a large room they dragged desks into. So I don't know how on earth they'd go on with things like that. I don't ever remember going upstairs in that place. But it was this big old building. We still have schools like that here. So the social distancing aspect, most schools have had work done on them. So you may have this old manor house style part, but there'll also be a new part hanging around outside somewhere. So every school is different. Every single school is going to be different. So in your case, it was ideal for social distancing. Most of these that I see around here, think about Loretto. It's an old building yeah. with a new bit hanging off it. Even sort of things like the handrail and stuff like that. The new ones are metal. They'd wipe easily, but wood, does that wipe down as easily? Because it's got grain on it. It's not as easy to clean as a metal one. So lots of things to think about for the schools. I don't think he's actually given them that much time. When did he announce that? About 3 weeks ago? You know, that you're going back in at a certain time? I still think it's a little bit premature. I would think at least another 3 weeks. And to be honest, you're then that close to the summer holiday. Why bother? We are, on Monday, we'll be 6 to 7 weeks away from the summer holiday. So seriously, was it worth it? Some parents don't seem to be able to get the kids off their hands fast enough, no. While others just...
They've had enough.
They've had enough, yeah. They've got a newfound respect for teachers. Could you learn that much in 7 weeks? I guess you could. But you're going to spend more time explaining to the child while their best mate's not in there, you know, and you don't sniff, don't wipe your nose on your arm. You would seriously be spending more time doing that. Apparently one school, they went back, I can't remember where this was, and within 2 days there were 70 cases of COVID, which is a bit scary. Most of them were the teachers. It is very, very scary. It was built with TB in mind. They believe fresh air could cure it. That could very well be true. Absolutely. There was an open air school up here, but I never actually saw it. But, you know, again, there was lots of running around outside and an easy way to get in and out of the classrooms. We had that in my second primary school. Again, more traditional, but each classroom also had a door at the back of it that took you out onto the playground. So you went out that way at playtime and then went straight back in instead of going into the main area and then all falling over each other trying to get back to your classrooms. But you can't really build a school with everything in mind, can you? We, at the moment, we're building schools with like knife crime in mind. So they're building them so there's no light dark corners. So there's no under the stairs bit. You know, all of that is blocked off. The stairs were wide open in my day. And yeah, bullying took place there. So it's those kind of decisions that they're trying to make. And having long, empty corridors like you tend to see in the States, where they have their lockers either side of it. Most kids over here, certainly in the school I'm a governor at, they still have their books in their desk drawers. They don't have like a locker system. But wide corridors like that means that the teachers have got a good view. Obviously, that's actually really useful when it comes to the 2 metre rule as well. And my one of my last grammar school, that was wide enough to have 2 metres. But the other one I was at, no chance. It's probably about a metre and a half if you were lucky. So there's a lot to think about when you design a school. And I don't think anybody designed it with this in mind. But you can see what we're dealing with that picture that I've sent up. It's just, you actually get into the school round the side, straight into the hexagon. So you really need to know exactly where you're going, because you're going to have to make it round there somehow. And the little one, well, the two that are joined, each one of those was built at a separate time. So coming off the top of the school, there's quite a big square bit. That was built first, and then the other two square bits were built. And you can see there's a joining piece between them. They were joined after the event. That's got the infants in. So the literally the babies, keeping them away from the slightly older children. But as you can see, not much car parking there either, whereas the one next door has got plenty of car parking. And that huge area just to the north of the football pitch bit, we're spending an absolute fortune on there shortly to have it all done over. So that should be interesting as well. But there's not really much you can do, is there? I just wish people would stop arguing about it. Live and let live. There's something wrong with people. There really is. I wouldn't dream of telling somebody, you know, actually saying to somebody, you're treating your child like a canary, was one of the comments. I mean, you just wouldn't, would you?
No.
It must just be me. Do you know, I don't actually mingle with that many people, do I? No. And I'm very picky with the ones I do. And obviously the MacBiters are absolutely lovely and they wouldn't dream of that either. It's people out there.
Yeah, it's two people.
It is far too people-y. Not only is it too warm, it's far too people-y. Anyway, who's read the mail? You sent the mail, didn't you?
Yes.
With all the stuff about tonight. Who's read the mail?
Me.
Oh, I'm glad you've read it. So are you fascinated by slide sizes or not?
Yeah.
Glad to hear it, Mike. Right answer. Who else is fabulously interested in slide sizes?
And are you fascinated by VBA?
I love VBA. I've written VBA. When did I say I didn't like VBA, Mike?
When did I say I didn't like slide sizes?
Most of the time. Jonathan didn't have a nap. So it's going to be touch and go tonight, isn't it, Jonathan? Just saying. Might have to have a look at the running order. Get something soporific on early. But then I'd be accused. VBA! But then I'd be accused of cheating. No. I have got a Google slide bit. No, Google Sheets bit. I've got a Google slide bit as well. But that would be telling, wouldn't it?
It would.
Oh, I'm not limiting myself to Keynote tonight.
You do realise now half your audience don't like Google.
That's true. Fear not, I'm also doing PowerPoint and Keynote. I'm doing the trifecta. I'm doing all three. There is actually a reason to use all three. But it doesn't matter if you don't want to use one of them, if that's Google. That's absolutely fine. I don't use Google Slides. I've demonstrated it, but I've never actually gone in and made a presentation. Until I told you to go in and make a presentation in it.
I made that presentation in PowerPoint.
Yeah, but you then took it to Google Slides. Yeah. There was a reason. If you're trying to give a presentation online in something like Zoom, obviously you can't see your screen and you need to see the chat because it covers up all of the screens. How I get around that when I'm chatting with you guys and I've got slides up is I have another computer, which you could do, Mike.
Of course.
You could do that.
I was going to do it on my iPad.
But if you didn't want to do it that way, then what you need to do is to just share a window. I'm sure Jonathan's tried this. But if you share a window and you're sharing PowerPoint or Keynote, then you've got all the Chrome of the application wrapped around the slides, including your slide notes. So the way around it, I just had a brainwave, middle of the night. Tried it, said to Mike next morning. And I left you a note, didn't I? In Slack. We've got our Slack room, and I put in there, try Google Slides. And what it does is it presents in a window with literally just the top bar on it, and that's it. So it's nice and clean, and you don't have to do anything about it. So it worked for that, but there's also a free version of PowerPoint online.
True.
How does that present online?
Don't know.
Don't have me doing that in the next hour. I've got a video to process while I'm at it as well. It's just not good enough, this. What's going on here? Hope there wasn't a big walk as well. And it's warm. And Jonathan might need some wine. Have him asleep before nine at this rate.
Rock-a-bye, Johnny. Yes. On the treetop.
Yes. No, I'm not cheating. I am not cheating. No, going to win it fair and square. Because it's the big one tonight, you know. It's 4-4. Just saying.
It's like penalties, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it might go to penalties.
No, this is penalties.
Is
first
it penalties?
First to five wins.
No. No, he didn't do a big walk today. Thinking you need to keep it short to stand a chance. But a walk might wake you up. That could definitely happen. It could definitely happen, that. We'll see what happens. No, we're going to carry this on, Mike. It's fabulous. We're definitely going to carry it on. It's great fun. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. So who is fascinated by slide size? Absolutely nobody at all. The reason I was doing this, Mike needs to go and find it. Can you go and find it for me, Mike? It was a conversation, I think it was in the critiques thing, and it was about a ratio of 1-to-1. It was one of the Debs. I'm sure it was one of the Debs, but which one? Forgive me, I can't remember, but I'm sure it was one of the Debs. The Debs. Yes, the live match tonight. This is instead of sport. They are bringing sport back. Yesterday was the Premier League, today FA Cup. More matches. I think they said there was going to be 92 matches, didn't they? All televised live before the end of the football season. And imagine every one of them on the TV. Not every lady is as patient as me. Imagine it's more likely.
Was this the one about, is there a way to create one-to-one document in
Keynote? That's the one.
Or am I stuck choosing 4-3 or 16-9? Right.
Which Deb?
Debbie S.
Right, okay. I will make a note of that on my post-it notes, because that's why I thought I'd take a look at slide sizes. And believe me, there is a lot more to it than you would imagine. And I find it infinitely fascinating, and I am hoping that you will find it exactly the same way. Of course, you may not find it that way, and you may nod off, which, Jonathan, that's absolutely fine. You can do a lot more with Keynote, PowerPoint or Google Slides than you imagine. You will find that out tonight. And just to keep Kim interested, I actually did this for real. I've just dug it out for Craig, my dentist. And I have the file that I sent him. There's a video somewhere to go with it that explained how it worked. So I'll show you what I built and why I built it and why it was in PowerPoint. No, Keynote. That one was in Keynote. But it did involve PowerPoint. It's fascinating. It is. The things you have to do. Kim also likes hacky workarounds. And this is a big hacky workaround. Paul likes slide sizes too. You see, slides, infinitely fascinating. Mm. Well, you see, you can do a lot more with them if you master the slide sizes. And it is a bit of a black art, because none of them work the same. And what I did was I used two applications to get one result, which I will be showing you at 9 o'clock tonight. But given the week I've had with Google, YouTube, etc., and I've got a video to process, and we've got the dog to walk, and everything else to do, I don't know how I'm going to squeeze it into the hour. But we will squeeze it into the hour. So I will say good night for me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you
in an hour.
In an hour. I would stay safe, but, you know, given that we'll be back in an hour, just don't do anything terrifying in the next hour. Night, guys.